Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, 9-time Austrian pair champion and 2-time Olympian, Willy Bitok. And performance guest, Isabella Hartline. I am Mark Lejeur, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Today, I had a conversation with a man I didn't know. I had met him in passing, and today, however, he saw me and stopped me and needed to and wanted to tell me a story. Evidently, he had just gotten off the phone with a friend of his who had told him to come back to his country where he belonged. And he was very upset because he wanted to be here and live out his dream. But his dream was not, he was not living his dream, because in his country he was a such and such and he was respected as such. And here people think he is something entirely different and something that he does not like to be referred as, and he's doing what he can, odd jobs, in order to be able to sustain him and his family while they're here. And he was emotionally upset, started to tear up, and eventually started to cry. And he said, I've always dreamed that I would be doing what I thought I would be doing. And he said, not this, not this. I stayed with him as long as I could. I shared a story with him that made him cry and think and extend his hand and thank me for saying so. And I said to him, I literally had to go because I actually had a call with our guest tonight. And I started to go, and he said, could I have a hug? So I hugged him, and he held me and cried some more. And I literally had to run in order to make it back in time to take my call with our guest, who within a minute, if that, of my conversation with him, said to me something that was not only in direct contrast to the story that this man was saying to me, but that was said in a way that I don't know that I have heard said so honestly and sincerely. Our guest said, I'm living the dream. I've been living the dream. And it stopped me in a good way. And I thought the gentleman's story, who was having a hard time, we've heard many, 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 many times. And we see it on television. We see it in the news, and we see it in movies. How many times do we talk to people who feel in their heart that they are living the dream? And they know it, and they're grateful for it, and they appreciate it. And in a moment, all the questions that I had for him about his career and the exciting things that he's done and all of that, which are still in my mind and still very interesting, went to how can we all learn and hear your story and be more, how can more of us be living the dream?
You know, there's more and more evidence of the wisdom that wasn't imparted, and the game's been rigged. and starting to understand that living the dream means you have to live the dream before you're living the dream, and really owning that vision of what it is you want to do, and feeling of the wish fulfilled and all of these things, which has been contrary, at least through my whole life's journey, contrary to what our middle class upbringing was like. You react to your circumstances, and most people are doing things that are different than they would really prefer to be doing, and are not aligned with what their skills or gifts are. And so I think tonight's conversation is really, really important, because, and especially with that great monologue, Filippo is guiding people back to even understanding what their dream is in order for them to be able to start to visualize it and then ultimately embody it.
Agreed. And we could have easily now called this episode Living the Dream with Olympian figure skater Willie Bitok. However, it's still appropriate and potentially even more so. Ice Entertainment Magic with Olympian figure skater Willie Bitok. This is our episode 812. And our interview guest is a 9-time Austrian pair champion and 2-time Olympian figure skater. He's a visionary producer, and he's the ice entertainment pioneer. Welcome to the show, Willie Bitok.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here in more ways than one. Thank you. And thank you, Willie, for inspiring that moment. What do you think about how you said it, or what you said that made me stop as I did while we were speaking after you said, "I'm living the dream"?
Well, I think you may have felt the passion I have for what I've been doing and what I still love doing. And that happens to be related to skating, to ice skating. And that has been in my life ever, since I was like 7 years old or so.
Actually, I would venture to think that I would trust that your mother was very careful, but she might have been figure skating or skating while you were in the womb.
Well, probably not anymore, but prior to that, yes. My mother was a champion skater, and she actually was successful with was in European champions, the silver medalist in 1928, I believe, and she was she also was an Olympian in St. Moritz, and the funny thing is her two sisters were skaters as well, and her dad was a pleasure skater at the Vienna Skating Club in around the turn of the century. So I live with skating in my life ever since I was born, I guess.
And there are a lot of things. It's interesting. You did say that it wasn't always easy and it wasn't always comfortable, but there are a lot of things that you described about being on the ice, and not just on the competition ice, but on lakes, right? The experience. Tell us about the experience on a lake, which is not always a sure thing.
I know. No, we used to skate in Vienna. Number one, we have a huge skating rink, 3 hockey sizes, right, and just about in the center of the city, the Wiener Eislaufverein. And then occasionally we ventured out in the winter to go. What they call the old Danube, the Alte Donau. It was frozen, and you could skate there for kilometers. Or we went down to a lake in to the south of Vienna, huge lake bordering Hungary, and that would freeze over in the winter, and you can just skate forever. It's so wide, and it's just to skate and feel the wind in your hair and in your face, and it's just a wonderful feeling.
I trust the audience can hear that as you're describing this, the passion and the wonderful feeling, that is what you brought to your career and your shows, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But let me ask you this, actually. There also has been a fascination with skating on the audience's part. What do you think we're tuning into, even for those of us who are not skaters?
Well, skating is, once you master it just a little bit, it's the feeling of gliding and feeling the wind in your face, and especially being out in nature. Okay, there's arenas as well, of course, and that's fun too. But being outdoors and skating is just special. In the middle of a city, you see the high rises around you, and it's just great.
We're going to talk about the career. You actually said that you never were without work. And I wonder if you ever thought of skating as, I have to make money at this. I have to be. Did you ever put that kind of pressure on your skating or your career?
Well, I always enjoyed shows. I come from Vienna. They had a very successful show in Europe called the Vienna Ice Review, and they would come to Vienna each year around the holiday time, and we were looking forward to going and enjoying the production, and mostly to Viennese music at that time. And it was fun. It was also at times choreographed by famous choreographers from the opera, and we were looking forward to that. And they had artists from all over the world, including the United States and Russia and God knows where. And it was fun to see that. And we would look. They always came around the holiday time, so we were looking forward to seeing in each year, and of course criticizing it as well. That was the fun of
So interestingly, when
it.
Mark first mentioned you as being a guest on our show, I went and watched videos of you, and I was thinking in the back of my mind, something about this looks familiar. I think he looks familiar. I think, and it brought me back, and it wasn't until I later read and saw the Icecapades and the TV specials and Peggy Fleming. So growing up, my whole family and my parents' friends, tonight there's going to be the Icecapades, or there's going to be the this, or there's going to, and those were the shows, and you were the guy. And tell us about those experiences on NBC and all that. That growing up, we thought, wow, there's that. What were you thinking?
Well, it's funny how things happen. I was competing with different partners at European and World Figure Skating Championships, and we also, in the course of events, I met many skaters from all countries of the world, all skating countries from the world, including Peggy Fleming. And also her mother. And Peggy's mother introduced me in Grenoble to her television producer by name of Bob Banner. And at the time, I was studying sports in Vienna and really didn't think about a professional skating career. But so they had asked me, they were planning at the time to do a skating special in Europe to be shot in Switzerland, in Grenoble, France, and in Germany, in Garmisch. And Peggy's mother suggested, since she knew me and she knew I was from Austria, She suggested to Bob Banner and his producer Dick Foster to contact me and see if I can help them find the locations they needed. And so sure enough, I met them in Grenoble, and then I said, sure, call me when you get to Vienna or before that. And sure enough, they called me and I went on surveys with them. And then they, at the end of the surveys, they suggested I come over to Los Angeles and work with them for a few weeks or a month to see how that works, and so I can help them to work on a special with Peggy in Europe. And so I thought about it and interrupted my studies and said, okay, I'll do that. So I flew on September 4th, 72, 71, actually, I guess, to Los Angeles and joined Bob Banner Associates and Dick Foster at the time. And they put me on another special just to, you know, basically as a production assistant. And then, you know, I was looking, of course, also in the skating world and met also the choreographer, Peggy Fleming, who Olympic champion Rob, Bob Paul. And he suggested that I should skate with Peggy in her show, that she was gonna have a live show as well. And so I met Then I was introduced to Kathy Steele, who with Phil Romaine was they were stars in Ice Capades. Kathy was from Garbage. Phil was from New York. And they put me together with Kathy. But before that, we went to Europe and did that special in Garmisch, Germany, and also in mainly in Garmisch. And during the day, shot in Grenoble. I wasn't in Grenoble, but Garmisch and Davos, Switzerland, and all in natural location. We had Peggy on the top of a mountain, sprayed ice on the platform there, and she was skating on top of Jacob's Horn in Davos. And we had helicopters filming her, and Andy Williams singing. Where do I
Nice.
begin?
Nice.
It was amazing footage, and it's a funny story. And recently, I was in the summer. This last summer, I was in Garmisch, and I happened to one of the locations that they filmed Peggy in was King Ludwig's Neuschwanstein Castle. So we sprayed. We sprayed ice. We had a technician from Vienna come and lay an ice rink in the courtyard. And in the courtyard, there's stairs coming down, and the decorator, the scenic designer dressed up the whole castle like you wouldn't believe. And I remember I was, and they asked me to skate in the special as well. As support, and I remember skating and Andy Williams, who was the guest star, coming down the stairs with Peggy and skating on that rink. And recently I walked with my wife into that courtyard last summer and closed my eyes and it all came back to life. And we went home, and on YouTube I punched in Peggy Fleming to Europe with Love, and the very first scene that came up was that scene with Andy Williams and Peggy coming down the staircase and
Well,
skating.
you mentioned your wife, but you didn't mention who she ended up being.
Oh, well, I met Kathy. She was a skater, of course, as well, and I met her on Peggy's show, the Concert on Ice. We skated together through the kindness of Bob Paul, who put us together, and we fell in love and got married 9 years later, but we got married.
Wonderful. And you
And
also.
we skated together in multiple shows, ice theater, in German ice theater, toured in Greece and in Czech Republic and in Germany and in Israel, and it was just amazing. In an operetta on ice by Emery Kallmann, the Childers Princess, and my wife Kathy. She was the Childers Princess, wouldn't you know? And it was a lot of fun.
So, Willie, you mentioned you came to Los Angeles in 1971. When did you were supposed to stay 3 weeks or a month. When did you actually
I'm still here.
leave?
I'm still here. I told my parents I need to stay here, and I'm not going to continue my studies. I was going to be a coach and studied sports at the University of Vienna, and I didn't quite finish it. And my parents gave me a hard time about it, but that's such is it. I loved what I was doing here, and eventually I got into producing, co-producing and producing.
I was about to say, in a sense, you did become a coach because producing, you're creating, you're
Right.
inviting people to do something that they might not have thought of, that you did, right?
Exactly.
And you're still doing that. Let me ask you this, because you've continued to grow with the sport yourself, or the entertainment, and you've also seen it grow, and you delight in that. I was happy to hear you say the things they're doing today are wonderful. Could you talk about some of that?
Well, the skaters today are unbelievable. I just watched a little bit of Skate America, which is on right as we speak. And the American skaters, they're incredible now. Malinin, Ilya Malinin, and Isabel Levito, Brady Tennell, they're incredible. They're really great skaters, and for hopefully they'll medal at the next Olympics.
I have to believe that living the dream potentially includes being able to look back and look forward also, and positively see the changes and appreciate them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the changes in skating are really very technical. People are doing things today that they wouldn't dream of years ago. They used to be done, they used to be Olympic champions with doubles, up to double axel, and then they come the triples. And now they're doing quads, meaning four rotations in the air. So there is a great advancement in technique, in jumping technique, and spinning technique, and also a lot of in artistically. There's some, not always, but you see nice influences from the dance world, from other theatrically venues and disciplines, and that's great to see. It's wonderful.
Willie, you went into production, and now you've been actually a big producer in this field with some of the biggest shows. So we've titled our show thanks to your tagline, Ice Entertainment. So we get ice, we get entertainment. Tell us about the magic.
The magic of entertainment.
Well, the magic that you create through this medium.
I see. Yeah. Well, we love doing ice shows, of course. And we also got into doing skating rinks to make ice available to the public. And the reason we got there is
Nice.
we bought ice rinks so we can do traveling shows. And we had, you know, we toured with a show called Broadway on Ice and Opera Festival on Ice. We took that to Europe and to Oman, to the Royal Opera House in Oman as well, both shows. And so we needed equipment that allowed us to install ice on the stage or in an arena. And so we initially bought equipment from Ice Capades. And then later on, we got into more equipment, and so we had, so we can tour with the shows, and the touring is so tight, you know, there's only 1 day or 2 days between cities sometimes. So we needed two rinks, and leapfrog then, and so then in the summer, or when we were not touring, we were sitting on all the equipment. And so we were thinking, what could we do now? And just as at the time, Pepsi Cola called us and wanted to do ask if we they heard about our ice equipment, and they were asking if we could do an ice rink for the public, and in San Francisco. And so we thought about it, and then we said, okay, we'll do it. And that was, I don't know, quite a few years ago. And it was the first time we had a rink in San Francisco at Union Square. And that's now many, many years later. It's still, you know, it's still in the winter at the holiday season. We still do a rink at the square, at Union Square, and other places as well. But the
This
main
Willie, this might be a good time for me to chime in and shout out Jeremy and Mandy here in Santa Monica, which is how I was able to come in contact with you. Because you,
Right.
I understand you're helping with ICE at Santa Monica.
That's correct. Yeah. So it grew, that part grew as well, and we're doing a few rings now in the winter. And now we're doing one in Santa Monica and downtown LA in Pershing Square as well. So people get to skate outdoors in the winter.
For anybody in the LA area, it's ice@santamonica.com. You're going to love it. And it's so exciting to know that Willie's had his imagination input in that.
Right. And we have, you know, we have special events there. We bring figure skating in there. We had last year Ilya Malinin came and skated just for fun, and a few other people as well. So it's fun. It's
So,
fun for the public, it's fun for us.
and w Willie, I've heard, I've been on a handful of cruise ships. I don't remember ever knowing that there's an you put an ice show on a cruise ship, or many, actually, right?
Yes, we're now on, I believe, 15 ships of Royal
Wow.
Caribbean with 17 shows, and they go all year long, in essence, and more coming down the pike. And we are hiring now. We're really hiring worldwide skaters. We have auditions at the World Figure Skating Championships that are coming up in Boston and many other places too. And we're able to, you know, it was not our idea, it was the Royal Caribbean's idea many years ago. I think we're doing this for 20 years now. And at the time, the CEO of Royal Caribbean decided to put an ice rink on the cruise ship. And then they said, okay, we have an ice rink. We really should have an ice show as well. And somehow we got in there through producers that we worked with, and they knew us. And now we have all those shows on cruise ships. And it's fun. And there's a few more in the pipeline.
And cruise ships and theme parks and
Yes.
hotels, casinos, resorts,
Right.
cities. Wow.
Yeah, we are good. We give a lot of employment to skaters, which is great.
And I think that's wonderful. And not all sports or entertainment have somebody like you that is helping build opportunities in that way. How do you, when you look back and you look forward, what do you see you have done for the ice skating entertainment or sport, and what would you still like to do?
Well, over the years, I feel we created a lot of jobs for skaters, because after the amateur career is over, there were only a few, there were ice capades, which is not no longer in existence, sadly, and Disney on Ice, of course, and there used to be Follies, Ice Follies as well, which is not longer in existence. But so there's right now, it's in America, it's just Disney and Ice, and for which is great for that exists, because it's jobs for skaters. And now with the cruise lines, there's a lot of jobs there now. We have I think worldwide we employ the most amount of principal skaters in the world, and thanks to this vision of Royal Caribbean to put that together, it's really fun, and it's really, obviously, the shows are very much enjoyed by the public. Otherwise, the show wouldn't be there anymore. And we get weekly reports, and we try and fine-tune based on the audience comments to a certain extent. And it's a wonderful group we are working with at Royal Caribbean, and it's fun too, because
So,
it takes us around the world.
I think it's wonderful, and I part of the magic I think as a spectator watching it. I've been on the ice before myself, but and I've fallen on it many times as well, literally on the ice.
Join
But
the rest of us.
it is, there's something about watching it. So I think part of the magic is the, like you and I were speaking earlier, the speed that a human goes on ice and then turns and the angles and the twists and right? That's inciting to watch.
Oh, absolutely. The rink on the ships is obviously not a full size hockey rink, but the focus is terrific, because the audience is on three sides, and you really can take in the skaters, the skating close up, and it's fun to watch, and there's a lot of production values in it as well. So it's a different entertainment venue.
So who would have thought that the Los Angeles desert area, which I think originally was a desert, needed an ice rink outdoors, and people needed to learn and enjoy. And I think there over the years there have been ice rinks, but you're talking about also making these shows and community events, right? Families and
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We have, and it's outdoors. Rinks typically are indoors, especially in California. And we have the technology now that we can have outdoor rinks in California, in spite of the warm temperatures. And so that makes it so much nicer to look at buildings all around you and lights, and when you're skating, it's great. It's a great dating site. It's a great just skating around place as well. It's really fun.
Well, I know you've received many awards, many honors, you've medals, and you also were honored and inducted into the World Figure Skating Hall of Fame. I think that the next thing hasn't been created yet, of which you will be rewarded, because it feels like not only have you done a service to the figure skaters, you've also done a service to the audience, and now you're including communities and families and something for the enjoyment of people. I thank you and look forward to much more to come from your camp, Willie.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're having fun doing it, all of us that are involved in these projects. You know, we were able to produce shows for theaters. We had a show called Broadway on Ice, touring in theaters. And a few years ago, we created a show called Opera Festival on Ice. And it premiered at the Royal Opera House in Oman, in Muscat, Oman. And we traveled there with an ice rink and with
Another desert, right?
exactly. Yeah. Well, that at least was indoors in a
Oh,
theater.
okay.
It's an unbelievable theater, and we had the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra with us. We had some world-renowned opera singers with us. It was great to combine. We love combining art forms, and to combine live music and singing with skating, with top line skating is special. And it's fun to watch, and it's fun to put together too.
Well, I'm sure the audience has heard you've said fun many times, so I'm going to surmise that living one's dream, that fun has to be a part of it, and experiencing the fun, like knowing you're having fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I know there have been challenges. I know there have been times, and I know life can be life for all of us. But these are what you've shared tonight, and how you've shared it, and some of the subtle hints that I've picked up. There's definitely a way that you're living, and I'm going to want to know more, Willie, at some point. That is something that we all can learn even more from. So thank you so much for being with us today. I want to let everybody know that so BTalk Productions, and BTalk is BIET, like Tom, AK, productions.com, BTalkProductions.com. And of course, yeah, actually, if you go to our website, lifechangesshow.com, you'll see a video of Willie dancing, or well, dancing, figure skating up a storm in that video. And Kathy too, right?
I haven't seen that. What?
Oh, I think
I've not seen
well, you'll have to go to the Life Changes Show page
the
and see that. In any
Okay.
event,
Well,
what a
that's fine.
pleasure it's been
All right.
connecting with you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. And keep living the dream for yourself and for all that get to benefit from it, Willie. All the best.
Thank you so much.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Alma, and I need your help once again. I just can't get myself to do the housework needed, and I procrastinate during even simple chores. I used to have a woman who came and cleaned for me, but since I have been out of work, I can no longer afford her help. I've been focusing on helping people get well and spend lots of time in hospitals and nursing homes as a volunteer because I love to assist others in healing. How can I prioritize cleaning my house and getting more organized and still do what makes me happiest?
Dear Alma, thank you for doing all you do to assist others. And now let's find a way for you to help yourself. I truly relate to you not wanting to clean the house and understand why you choose to help others instead. However, if you simply choose to do a few easy chores on a daily basis, I feel you will be happier and be an even greater help to those you are assisting. I lovingly suggest that you take a few simple steps to determine why you procrastinate. I've addressed procrastination several times this year and last year, as there appears to be more and more people procrastinating than ever before. So I've researched why one procrastinates and found many excellent articles that explain why we do it. And these articles also provide easy steps to start getting things done. One of the most important steps is to just really love yourself and sit down and make a list. So here are the five steps that verywellmind.com recommends, and they help me get my task done. Number one, make a to-do list. To help keep you on track, consider placing a due date next to each item. Number two, take baby steps. Break down the items on your list into small, manageable steps so that your tasks don't seem so overwhelming. Three, recognize the warning signs. Pay attention to any thoughts of procrastination and do your best to resist the urge. Number four, eliminate distraction. Ask yourself what pulls your attention away the most, whether it's Instagram, Facebook updates, or the local news, and turn off those sources of distraction. Number five, the most important, pat yourself on the back. When you finish an item on your to-do list on time, congratulate yourself and reward yourself by indulging in something you find fun. Alma, I believe you too can become more proactive if you choose to organize yourself by following the five simple steps I have shared. They're working for me, and I trust they will also work for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Isabella Hartline, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest is a rising teen country music artist. Welcome, Isabella Hartline, to The Life Changes Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, it's our pleasure to have you, Isabella. And you've inspired me tonight as well, or not just tonight, ever since we've all been in touch. And by we've all, I mean you and I, and your manager and I, and your dad and I. And I have to say, this has felt like a family affair, and good on you. You have a lot of support, and it seems to be very community, family oriented. Is it true, and what does it mean to you?
Yes, sir, it is true. I have a lot of support and I am so thankful for everybody who supports me. So, real quick, I want to give a shout out to them. So, I want to shout out
Please.
to all of my family. So, my mom, my dad, my family is definitely my biggest support system. And even my sisters, all of them, thank all of them so much for supporting me through everything. Thank you to Nicole Zeller at Bridgeshore Media and one of my really good friends, Sarah Morey at Lucky Money Live or Lucky Money Entertainment. So thank all of you guys so much for being my support system, and I love all of you so much.
Nice. Well, we knew you were special as soon as we got in touch with your music and started to learn more about you. One of the things I have to say that struck me also is that you list in your bio how you kind of do all the girl things, and I guess I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting this. She loves to hunt, fish, and do all the things a country girl loves. So maybe I've got something to learn. What are these things a country girl loves?
So, pretty much, I mean, my song that I wrote, A Country Girl Thing, kind of sums up, I guess, all that there is to be a country girl. Well, in my life, all of the things that I grew up doing and still do, like such as I talk in my song, such as growing up in a small town where everybody knows everybody, being at bonfires, riding horses, learning how to drive a tractor, just like all of the stuff that I grew up doing in my little country girl life. So I guess that would be what I would call a country girl in my view.
It doesn't sound like a little life at all. It actually sounds like a really big life. And so I think you said it very well. And then you also, like you said it in a song. So this would be a good time. Unless there's anything else you want to say about that, we're going to get to hear a country girl thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, here it is. This is pre-recorded Isabella Hartline's song. This just came out, right?
Yes, sir, it did.
So very exciting to share here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, Isabella Hartline's A Country Girl Thing.
We got down here, but boy, you can bet I can still shoot a deer with one shot, one pull of. of a trigger. If you've got a tractor,
Isabella Hartline, and there it is. Isabella, we have all your links, or the links that you had us share with you, with our audience, TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. That's all on our Life Changes show page for Isabella Hartline, HARTLINE. But where's the best place for people to connect with you?
So you can find me on literally any social media
or
any music platform. Just at Isabella Hartline, HARTLINE.
There it is. Well, so it's a country girl thing. I like it. And I have to say that some of what you're singing about is not just a country girl thing. And as a matter of fact, you sing about things that really touch people. Obviously, you get your influences from your personal life, your walk of faith, as you say, and love of the USA. Tell us more about those inspirations.
So pretty much, well, let me just walk you through the process of me writing this song.
Okay.
So I was just thinking one day, well, okay, so I'd written music before, obviously, like I'd written songs and stuff before, and I was like, I was talking to one of my good friends, Sarah Morey, and we were talking about how people, artists and singers, use their real lives to write music about, you know? And I was like, okay, well, that's really cool. Like, I want to write some songs about my life and, you know,
nice.
Kind of what I've done in my life growing up and everything. So I actually wrote this song. I co-wrote this song with my friend, as I shouted out to her, Sarah Morey. She's a good friend of mine, and we write songs together all the time. And we sat down, and we were writing this song, and we were just thinking about stuff that I'd done growing up and putting it into words and putting it into a song. And then it was like, It was so weird because it came together so fast and so simple, because I had so much that I wanted to write about, because my life, like, growing up was so, like, crazy as a country girl, you know?
Well, before we get into the song, I don't know if you've written about this or not, but tell us about karaoke.
Oh, my goodness. So
where did it all begin?
I grew up. This is how I found my love for music, was karaoke, because I would go around singing karaoke, like at local bars, at, well, of course, the ones that I was allowed into. And I would sing karaoke on family friendly editions, on cruise ships, and just literally anywhere that had it, that was kind of local to me, I would just sing karaoke, because I just love singing, because I love the reaction that the crowd would give me. I just love the feeling that it gave me. So I'd go and sing karaoke. Like my dad, I remember my dad would text me and he'd be like, "Hey, so and so is having a karaoke night tonight." And I was like, "OMG, like, let's go." Like, what? I don't care. School night doesn't mean anything. I want to go sing karaoke.
I'll beat you
And
there.
no, right. And so I would literally just sing karaoke everywhere. And that's pretty much how I really built up my love for music and for singing in front of people. And I think that that was a really good foundation for me to start at, because it helped me not be as nervous. Because when you're singing karaoke, nobody really takes you seriously. Karaoke's like, one of those things where everybody, especially when I went to the bars, everybody was drunk. They didn't know what I was singing. So everybody was just cheering. And it was so easy for me to just sing. And I wasn't nervous. I would never, like, karaoke just pretty much calmed my nerves and everything, which is why it was so easy for me to go out and sing, not karaoke, and make music and not have to, like, have like a certain background or a certain setting, because I was just so comfortable with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you sound like you're comfortable right now, are you?
Yes, sir. I'm very comfy.
I'm glad. And I know it's late there, so I'm glad and thanks for staying up with us. So before we hear your next song, you've got some exciting things coming up, a lot of them, but can you share a couple of them that we can be rooting for you?
All right, so one of the main big things that I have coming up is that in November, I'm singing at the Live Oak at a writer's round. So I'm singing like pretty much all of my original songs at the Live Oak in Nashville, by the way. And what
Nice.
else? What else am I doing? Oh yes, tomorrow again with Sarah Morey, me and her are gonna have like a little Google Meet, and we're gonna work on some new music and write some new music. So you guys stay tuned for that, because it's gonna be coming out, hopefully soon. Hopefully, we're gonna have some more songs that I can come out with. So follow my socials and keep up with all of that good stuff.
Well, let's let the audience hear this next song. Is there any more that you want to share about Free before we broadcast it?
Yes. Okay. So Free is also a song that I co-wrote with Sarah. And we wrote that song. That song means a lot to me. And it's so, it touches my heart. And I'm like, I wrote it, And we wrote Free because I wanted people to realize that everybody goes through stuff in life, whether it's like, abuse or getting over drugs or any addictions that they might have, or just everybody goes through difficulties in life and challenges in life. But I just wanted to write this song to let everybody know that they are not alone when they go through this. Like, God is always with you. And that's pretty much it's faith for me is a big thing. So just that song really touches my heart, even when I listen to it, because I just want that song to reach everybody, and I want everybody to know and get what I'm talking about in that song, because I think everybody needs to hear the word.
Well, let's get this to as many everybodies as we can right now. Here is Isabella Hartline's pre-recorded song Free here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
I'm learning I don't have to walk alone.
I'm learning that I'm not on my own. And if I keep my head held high, I see there's a rainbow in the sky. The pot of gold that saves my soul from the fear of letting go. And I'm free, free as a bird in the sky. Free, living in my own paradise, where the sun always shines and it shines so bright. There's no place I'd rather be. You can drag me down, but soon you're gonna see.
Yes, Isabella Hartline. Find her on all the socials at Isabella, I-S-A-B-E-L-L-A, Hartline, H-A-R-T-L-I-N-E. Isabella, we have posted on our web page for you at the Life Changes Show a video of, I think you were 12 years old, and you sounded so mature. And now, That only a few years later, it's not just that you sound mature, you talk mature. You talk wise beyond your years. Where does that come from for you?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. I guess just how I was raised, to be honest.
That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, earlier you were saying small town. And I said, your world sounds pretty big to me. Well, interestingly enough, when we were talking about cities, you and I earlier today, and we talked about how you were saying how cities are cramped and there's no dirt and there are no animals. And I thought, oh, wow. So you are from a big town. You're from big space. You need space, you need dirt. I thank you for focusing us on things that some of us might not think about living in these quote-unquote big towns. with what you shared and your music, of course. And before we go, I know you have love of horses. Anything you want to say about that?
So actually, I love, oh my goodness, I love horses so much. They're like my favorite animal. They're so majestic to me. I don't know how to explain it. I used to ride horses all the time, but after I got like really busy with singing and volleyball, because I play volleyball, so I got just really busy with that, I wasn't able to have time to ride to ride my horses as much. So I do miss that. But I love horses. Oh my goodness. I love horses so much.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being on with us and sharing your music and your heart and your passion and your faith and your stories. I hope this happens again, and we wish you all the best, not just at Live Oak and all the things you're doing, but let us know, and we look forward to following you as well.
Yes, thank you all so much for having me. It was so great to meet all of you.
Likewise, Isabella Hartline, all the best to you. Big thank you to you, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Willie Bitok. And with that, that is our show. Oh, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.